Thank you for joining us for this lesson from God's Word. The West Central Church of Christ is located at 1303 Evangel Drive, Huntsville, Alabama, 35816, and can be reached by phone at 256-837-8730. Worship is held every Sunday morning at 9, with Bible study following at 10:15. Evening services begin at 5 on Sunday evenings. Wednesday Bible study is held at 7 o'clock. Now we hope you enjoy this lesson from God's Word, brought to us by Paul Owen.
This morning I'll be reading from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, beginning in verse 14, when the Lord God spoke these very words to Solomon. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place. Verse 19. But if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments which I have set before you and go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will uproot them from my land which I have given them, and this house which I have sanctified for my name I will cast out of my sight and will make it a proverb and a byword among all peoples. Verse 22. Then they will answer because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers who brought them out of the land of Egypt and embraced other gods and worshiped them and served them. Therefore, he has brought all this calamity on them. Please be seated.
Good morning to everyone, and it's great to see all of you here. We have a number of visitors, and we are glad that you are here today to worship with us. It hasn't been too long ago that we had our deacons complete a evaluation, and one of the questions in the evaluation was this: what were the reasons that you came to West Huntsville in the first place? And almost every time our deacons answered without exception is because this is a loving and friendly church. And don't you know that to be true? And visitors, if you're here today, I hope that already you feel the love and the warmth from the Christians here at West Huntsville. You know, I like to think about West Huntsville in terms of Colossians chapter 1, verse 10, where it says that we are to walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. And when I think about you, that's what I think about, people who are striving in that way to please God. Please take your Bibles this morning and turn to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. That's going to be our beginning point today in Scripture. And we are going to talk about Joshua, the servant of God, who is one of the greatest leaders to ever walk across the pages of the Old Testament Scriptures. Let's begin there in our text, and then we're going to read it together, the entire text, and then we'll kind of break it down as we go along. Joshua 1:1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over to this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide an inheritance, the land which I swore to their fathers to give to them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make yourself your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, the passage of Scripture that we have just read that opens this Old Testament book is all about transitions. And I guess if we're very honest with ourselves, we would say a lot of transitions in life tend to be very painful, don't they? Have you noticed that we have come up with special names for these transitions? I mean, when we go to that transition into midlife, what do we call it? We call it the midlife crisis. The transition when all the kids leave home, what do we call it? We call it the empty nest syndrome. Tammy and I were talking the other day that we probably won't have to worry about that till we're in our late 70s. It's going to be a while. But just think about that. The passing of time, the changing of circumstances, require from us the very best that we have to offer because they're often very difficult and they're painful. But you know what? Such is true from one leader to another. I mean, when you study your Bible, you find that there are some incredible transitions in the Old Testament. I think about the transition from the great prophet Elijah to the great prophet Elisha. Remember that? Remember how Elijah knew that he was going up that day in the whirlwind and in the fire of chariots and the horses of fire, and Elisha didn't want to leave him. He says, I'm not going to go. And Elijah kept saying, you stay here, I got to go. And he says, no, wherever you go, I'm going to go. And how he requested from him a double portion of his spirit. And there he went up. And his mantle fell down. Remember that? And the 50 prophets there watching. I mean, what a transition. I also think about the transition of Israel and her first two kings, Saul and David. I mean, it took years to come to fruition. And it was very painful for David. But I think the greatest transition in all of the Old Testament is a transition that we are going to be talking about today, the transition from Moses to Joshua. Moses was without question one of the greatest people to ever walk on earth. You know, many today in Judaism point to Moses as being the hero of Judaism. Isn't that something? I mean, how would you like to be his successor? I mean, that's a hard act to follow, isn't it? Well, look in our text. It begins with these words. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. I mean, it's hard to know the impact that the death of Moses had on the children of Israel, isn't it? I mean, so for so many years, he had been their leader, the one that they looked to. He's the one that led them out of Egyptian bondage for 400 years. I mean, he's the one who had come to give them freedom. He was the hero. He was the one that stood at the edge of the Red Sea with the Egyptian army pursuing hard on their heels. No place to go, looking out at that gigantic body of water. It was Moses who prayed and God who parted the waters. It was Moses who went up on the mountain of God and brought back God's revealed will concerning the law. It was Moses who said about it, and I don't understand everything about this, who spoke to God as a man speaks to his friend. They spoke face to face. God and Moses and God spoke in a very, very intimate way. Moses was a great leader. And even the Israelites, who often complained against him, they respected him. For Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 10 says that when Moses died, that the children of Israel cried and they wept for 30 straight days. But Moses seems to have died on them on the eve of their greatest need. You see, the people had crossed the Red Sea. They had wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. God told them that they were to go into this land, this beautiful land that flowed with milk and honey. They were to go in there and they were to destroy the inhabitants. They were to wipe it clean. Now, these are people who had little fighting experience, desert travelers with few weapons. And they were to go and asked to go into a land that was inhabited by seven of the most powerful nations on the earth. They were not just powerful, but they were also well armed. Remember when the spies came back from spying out the land? They said the people are like giants. And Joshua 17:16 said that they had chariots made of iron. And the spies also said when they saw their cities, they said, wow, said their walls, they go all the way up into heaven. Describing the massiveness of these fortified cities. And so they're ready to go. They're going to march into this land. And their leader dies. What are they going to do? And how about the food problem? You know, for years, food just kind of fell out of the sky. They went outside of their tent. They gathered it and brought it back. But God says, look, once you go into that promised land, then this home delivery service, if you will, it's going to stop. You will be required to get food for yourself. You'll have to provide. I'm going to start treating you like adults. So how do you think that Joshua felt, knowing that he was going to be responsible for feeding these 2 to 3 million Jews? Oh, what an incredible transition that we are studying today. So God came to Joshua and God said, Joshua, you are the man. Now, the name Joshua means Jehovah saves. Its equivalent in the New Testament is Jesus. Joshua, you are the man. Now, today, if we were going to make such a great transition, if we are standing on such a threshold of a transition in corporate business, you know what we would do? You know what we would do? We would call a consultant and have that consultant prepare the new leader. You know what a consultant is? Someone told me that a consultant is someone, if everything goes well, gets all the credit. If it goes wrong, you get all the blame. But either way, he or she gets all of the money. Well, I want to tell you, there's no money involved today, but you are the consultant. And you are going to have to prepare Joshua to take the place of this great man, Moses. I ask you today, what would you say? What would you say to him so that he could fill the shoes of Moses to lead these unorganized Israelites to defeat these powerful nations who were just looking for a fight? Well, today we're going to all be off the hook because what we have in verses 1 through 9 is God, who is acting as the divine consultant, is going to prepare Joshua for this arduous task. And that the words that God said to Joshua should be words of encouragement for your heart and for mine. As we go through the difficulties of transition in our personal life and the life of this church. So what I want to do, first of all, is look at the things that God did for Joshua to help prepare him. I want to look at five of them quickly today. The first thing that God did for Joshua is he calls Joshua, listen to this, to remember the past. To remember the past. How was it that Moses became unqualified to lead the people into the promised land? You say, I don't know. I suppose it was his old age. I mean, he died at 120 years old. I mean, he just couldn't keep up anymore. Almost as if the Lord knew that someone might make that statement one day, he was sure to add that in. In Deuteronomy chapter 34 and verse 6, he said, you know what? He said, when Moses died, his eyes were not dimmed, and his natural vigor was not diminished. He still had his mind, he still had his eyesight, he still had his strength. That wasn't the reason. At God's command, Moses went up on Mount Nebo, looked at the promised land, and there he died. And the Bible says that the Lord buried him in the valley of Moab, opposite of Beth Peor. That's what happened to Moses. But God said, Moses, you're not going to be able to go into that land that flows with milk and honey because you disobeyed me concerning the waters at Meribah. Remember, the Lord told him to speak and he struck it, the rock, twice. He and Aaron took credit for the miracle, said, you rebels, are we going to have to draw water for you? But what God said the reason was, is that you did not hallow me in the midst of the children of Israel. That was it. You do not revere me as holy. And poor Moses, Moses has spent a third of his life, 40 years, carrying the burden of these people. And all he wanted to see it to completion. He wanted to go in so badly. In Deuteronomy chapter 3, there is Moses and he's recounting all this to the people. And he said, you know, I really wanted to go in. He says, I pleaded with the Lord. I said, Lord God, you're the only God like you. You're mighty. You are powerful. Please let me go in. And finally God says, you know what? I have heard enough of this matter. No more. Do not speak of this matter again. But you know what God did? He allowed Moses to go up to Mount Nebo, which overlooked the promised land. And there he surveyed that rich land that flowed with milk and honey. And he knew what God had in store for the children of Israel. It was a wonderful, wonderful occasion, I know, for Moses. But you know what? Moses did get into the promised land. Because if you go to Matthew chapter 17, you will see Jesus, Elijah, and Moses there on the mount in the promised land. So what God did not let Moses do in this life, he allowed him to do in the next. So here's Joshua, the son of Nun. He's the new leader. And what the Lord does, the very first thing that he does is he says, look, I want you to think about the past, Joshua. Look in verse 3 of your text. Look in verse 3. We're in Joshua 1, verse 3. He says, as I said to Moses, remember the past. Remember what I said to Moses. Look in verse 5. As I was with Moses, so will I be with you. Joshua, Joshua. You've seen with your own eyes the things that I have done for Moses. You have witnessed the mighty acts I have done through him. Remember the plagues. Remember the mighty plagues in Egypt. Remember crossing of the Red Sea. Remember Moses bringing down the law from the mountain. Remember the manna falling from heaven. Joshua, I am the same God today that I was back then. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. And I think we need to take those words that we have just heard. And when we are challenged with the transitions in life that sometimes can be so painful, and we should need to say, look how God has helped me in the past. Has God not been good to us? Has God not provided for us? I think about this church, West Huntsville, that has a 107-year history. And today we stand on the threshold of a major transition. We're going to be relocating from this facility to one 3 or 4 miles away from here. And I'm excited about that. I think about it daily. Our elders have worked hard toward this goal. And so have you. But I would not be honest to say that every now and again I feel a little fear. You know, the fear of the unknown. Because it's a significant thing. But you know what? The same God that has been with us in the past will be the same God that's going to be with us in the future. I think about all the great things that have happened at West Huntsville through all of the years. Thousands of people being baptized. All of her great elders and leaders and preachers and teachers And the doors of opportunity that He's given us. I think about those that we have supported in the mission field. We've had a lot of great times. The Lord has walked with us. And then there were some times, some days and weeks and months when there was an ominous black cloud sometimes it seemed to hover over. And things weren't so happy and good and there was disunity. And guess what? The Lord didn't allow us to drown. He walked with us on dry land and brought us to the other side. Has God not been good to West Huntsville? Yes, He has. What a wonderful church that we have to the glory of God. And that's the God that we serve. That is the God that is going to lead us into the future. And so we have no reason to fear. That's what He told Joshua. He said, take a look in your rearview mirror. See what the Lord has done. But the second thing that He said is that He gave Joshua a task to perform. He gave him a very specific thing to do. I want you to look in verse 2. Arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. So what God did is He gave him a focus. He gave him a focus. And that's what you need and that's what I need. I mean, how wonderful is it for us sometimes to sit down with the Word of God and study that Word, to go to God in earnest prayer and say, Lord, help me to see the opportunities in life that are commensurate with my spiritual gifts and my abilities so that I can serve You. Help me to know what those things are. There's something very exciting about doing that. You know what? If we don't do it, we will kind of wander around aimlessly in life, just kind of putting in our time. Someone once said that Americans spend more time planning Christmas and vacation than they ever do thinking about what they're going to do for all of their life. What is your focus in life? What is your spiritual purpose? When you have a focus, you will not have fear. You will not be intimidated by fear and anxiety. And that's what God told Joshua. But the third thing He said, Joshua, look. He challenged him to be the right kind of person. The right kind of person. I want you to see this. Now, this is very interesting. I have to imagine that Joshua was a very courageous man. But I'm sure that there was a tendency when he heard those words that you are now the man, you are the leader, that he felt some fear in his heart. But God didn't want him to feel fear. God wanted him to be strong, courageous, daring. So He challenged him. He said, Joshua, be strong. Look in your text. Verse 6, He said, look, be strong. Verse 7, He said, be only strong. Verse 9, He says, I've not commanded you, be strong. You get the idea that God wanted Joshua to be strong. And that word means to be firm, to be resolute, not to be swayed by others. He wanted him to be the right kind of person. But not only did He want him to be strong, He wanted him to be courageous. Look at this. Verse 6, He said, be courageous. Verse 7, be very courageous. Verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be of good courage. That word has to do with being daring. Look, it took a lot of daring and courage to walk around Jericho 13 times in a week and shout and know that the walls were going to fall down. That took some daring. That took some courage. That took a lot of faith. When Moses was handing off or passing the torch to Joshua, do you know what he told him in chapter 31? He said, Joshua, he said, be strong and be courageous. He told him the same thing. You say, well, Paul, had Joshua not already displayed some courage in his own life? Well, certainly he had. I mean, he and Caleb were the ones, the spies who came back from spying out the land with a positive report. The other 10 came back and said, you know what? They said, this is the dumbest thing we've ever heard. I mean, they're giants. We're grasshoppers. I mean, their walls go up to heaven. We can't. Remember how they came back and they wanted to try elect a new leader, kick Moses out, and get another leader to take them back to Egypt? They thought, you know, that was the most logical thing which they should do. And Joshua stood up and said, no, you got it all wrong. You got it all wrong. Look, we walked that same land. We saw the same people. We can defeat these people. We can take the land because God has commanded us. He is our strength. He will go before us. In Him we will be victorious. That's exactly what He told them. Paul Lawrence Dunbar once said, the minorities since the beginning of time has shown the better side of man. You know, sometimes we think majority, you know, the majority is right. I want to tell you something. Sometimes the majority can be dead wrong. Young person, you may be the only person in your school who stands up for righteousness, who stands up for godliness, who does not have filthy language, who do not go to the parties where there is sexual immorality and drinking. If that's where God has placed you, be strong and be of good courage. You know what that says? That just validates who you are in Jesus Christ. You come back in 10, 15, 20 years later and you see what has happened to the majority. God said, Joshua, you be strong and you be courageous. Well, the fourth thing that God did for Joshua is He committed him, listen, to a reasonable plan. He committed him to a reasonable plan. I want you to see this. That this plan of action that God had for Joshua involved His holy word of God. He said, Joshua, you take this into your hand. This is going to be your guide. This is going to be your map. This is going to be the means for you to accomplish your assignment. And I want you to notice how carefully God instructed Joshua concerning this word of God. Take your Bibles and I want you to see. He said, first of all, you meditate on this word day and night. He said, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night that you may observe to do according to what is written in it. So what did he say? He said, what you're going to do is you're going to meditate it. You're going to mull it over. You're going to think about it. A wise man once wrote, this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. I mean, if you're not being faithful and you're kind of wanting to do things your own life and, you know, God and His commandments are kind of drudgery for you and it's something you really don't want to do and think about, I tell you what, the last thing that you want to do is to read the Word of God because it simply reminds you of what you don't want to be reminded of. But you know what? If you will just make this promise to the Lord and to yourself that I'm going to take this book and I am going to read it, I'm going to study it, I'm going to input it, I'm going to meditate, I'm going to chew on it each and every day. You know what? It becomes like preventative medicine. What it does is it keeps the pollutions of the world away from your soul. And so God said, Joshua, you take this law and you meditate on it day and night. If you want to be successful, He said, that's what you're going to have to do. But the second thing that He told him to do is he was to read the Word, here it is, obediently. Look in verse 7 and 8. He says this, that you may observe to do. Do you see that in verse 7? Observe to do according to all the law. Verse 8, he says, that you may observe to do according to all that is written. Did you see that? He said, Joshua, I want you to take the law as your action plan and I want you to read it, but I want you to read it with this in mind. Not so that you can become a scholar, but so that you can do it. Do it. The greatest thing that you will ever do when reading the Word of God and studying it is to read it to do it. Read it with a purpose of obeying it. Right? Right? That's what James said in James chapter 1, verse 22. He said, be doers and not hearers only. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? That's what Jesus was thinking about. And then Romans chapter 2, verse 13 says, he says, not for those who are hearers will be just in the sight of the Lord. He said, but the doers of the law will be justified. We're to be doers. And that's exactly what he told Joshua. He said, Joshua, don't you measure the word of God with a culture. Don't you go into Canaan and find something to change it in your own opinion. Simply do it. Take me at my word. When we lived in Selma, I worked at the Houston Park Church of Christ there. And I remember Mark was probably 4 or 5 years old. And a lot of times, we go around the block and he'd ride his little bike. I can't even remember if he had training wheels. I forget. But all I remember, and I would jog and he'd ride his little bike next to me. And I remember looking at his feet at times and they were going so fast, you couldn't see them. They were going 100 miles an hour. And he knew that they were going fast too, because sometimes he would not look up where he was going anymore. He would look down at his feet and they'd be doing like this. And he'd go into a mailbox or through someone's window or something like that. And so I remember one day he was doing that and I'm next to him. I said, Mark, I said, look up. And you know what he did? He went right into a mailbox. But I thought to myself, you know what? That was my fault. I told him, I said, look up. When I should have said, look straight ahead. You see that? He did exactly what I told him. And that's what your Heavenly Father wants you to do. It really is. Do exactly what I tell you to do. Read my word with a purpose of obeying it. And the fifth thing that he told Joshua, that he did for Joshua, he reassured him of his presence, that I'm going to be with you. Look at this in your text. He said in verse 5, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. He said in verse 9, he says, look, the Lord your God shall go with you wherever you go. And then in verse 5, he says, I will not leave you nor forsake you. You know what God was telling Joshua? He said, Joshua, look, I'm not going to go on a hiatus. I'm not going to go on a vacation. I'm not going to run away. But wherever you go, I will go. Somebody once said that a Christian plus God is always a majority, and that's exactly right. You can take Him wherever you go. And you can go with power, and you can go with poise. Just like Joshua. God said, Joshua, as I was with Moses, I will be with you. I'll be there every step of the way. I will walk with you. You can count on it. I will be your constant partner and friend. And you know what? You and I have that same promise from God. We really do. We are assured of His presence wherever we go. Take your Bibles. We've got one verse we're going to look at and we're going to be finished. That is in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 and 6. A verse that you know very well. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 and 6. And I want you to read this with me. The Hebrew writer says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? We have the promise of His presence. And don't you know, when Joshua heard those words, that he stood a little straighter, he stood a little taller, and he was ready for the job. I don't know about the upcoming transitions in life. I don't know about the challenges that are ahead. I don't know who they are. I don't know what they are. I don't even know where they are. But I do know that the Lord is going to be with me each step of the way. You know why I know that? Because I can look in my rearview mirror and I can see, hey, He's with me. Remember when David was going to go fight Goliath and Saul said, you know what, you're a kid, you can't do that. He said, hold on a second. And he looked in his rearview mirror and what did he see? He saw that lion and that bear coming after his sheep. And the Lord was with him then. He said, the Lord will be with me now. Isn't that great? Look, God has given you a focus. He has given you something to do in life. You have to figure that out. What am I going to be doing for the Lord from this day to the end of my life? What is it? Have your focus. And be the right person for God. Determine right now that you are going to be strong and you are going to be courageous when you are tested. Be thou faithful unto death. All wrapped up in that verse is be strong and courageous. Be courageous and you be strong to the point of death. When they kill you, you be strong. And so that's what God wanted Joshua to do, and that's what He wants us to do. To take His Word, to study it each and every day. Don't ever let a day go by that you don't study it. If you have to open it up at 11:30 at night and read and think about something, maybe it's only five verses, do it and put that Word into your life. And then remember, from this day forward, as in the past, God will be with you. You will be victorious, even as you go through the valley of the shadow of death. And my friends, that is only true for those who are Christians. Did you know that? That if you're not in Christ, none of this is true for you. It doesn't apply. And I don't know about you, but if I heard those words and I wasn't in Christ, you know what? I say, you know, I have no peace. I have no assurance. Lord, I want to make my life right with You. Will You do that today? Will You confess Him before this audience, saying that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God? And will you go up those stairs and into this baptistry and be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit for the remission of your sins? Be in Christ. Have all of the blessings and the assurance that we talked about today. I hope that you will do that right now as we stand and sing.
We hope you've enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to you by the West Huntsville Church of Christ. If you would like to continue your study of God's Word with a Bible correspondence course, please contact the church office at area code 256-837-8730.